Pray for them as they travel back. You don't have to. You have my permission to stay if you want to. So, good to see them. Make sure you see them before they head back. Praise the Lord for young people to grow up and go on and serve God. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. To thank the church for having a part in that, but the parents, praise the Lord. Amen. And to God be the glory. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter in chapter number 1. Continuing our study on this magnificent book. Didn't get very far last week. Got through two verses. But we'll do a little bit better today. Peter, of course, an apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing. You can see in verse number 1, he's writing to strangers scattered throughout. And that word strangers means basically it's people not of this world. Your citizenship's not in this world. It's in heaven. In other words, they're saved. Amen? And if you're saved today, your citizenship is not of this world. It's in glory. And praise the Lord for the day we get to go home. Amen? Looking forward to that day. But here he writes to them. And the reason why he writes this letter is because, we talked about last week, Rome had a new emperor by the name of Nero. And with him came persecution. Persecution, Christians were starting to be persecuted. And these Christians in this area, which we all study those areas, it's Asia Minor, they heard about this persecution and it was making its way towards them. And without a doubt, if we were put in that situation also, we would have a lot of questions. There would be a lot of uncertainties. What's going to happen? How's it going to end up? Are we going to have to die for our faith? And beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know this because history said so, many of them did die for their faith. Many of them faced such horrendous things as being crucified, torn asunder, beaten. Some were boiled alive. All for their faith. Nero chose Christians to even at nighttime, he tied them to poles and lit them on fire to light his garden. Because of their faith. You know what's amazing to me is this. We live in a great country. Amen. Praise the Lord for the nation we live in and the freedoms that we have. And we have a hard time. We call it persecution when someone slams the door in our face. We call it persecution when someone laughs at us because we go to church on Sunday. That's not what they faced. And they had a lot of questions. And it's sad today, to be quite honest, what it takes to get a lot of Christians to quit today. And all it takes sometimes is people to look funny at them at church. Well, I'm not going back. All it takes sometimes is, well, they haven't asked me to do that in a long time, and we want to quit. Well, someday we're going to stand before people like this. And we start having conversations about what we face in this world. We're going to be pretty embarrassed, I think, at times. They faced persecution. And Peter knew it, and so he wrote this letter, and we looked at it in chapter 5. The whole purpose of the letter was to exhort and to comfort them. Because they had a lot of questions. They were scared, as we would too. And he writes, first of all, he answers the question about the source in verse 1 and 2, who it was that wrote this book, and we know that to be the Apostle Peter. It says there in verse number 2, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And we talked about how Calvinism is wrong. Amen. That predestination. You say, well, there it says it. We talked about it. It's according to the foreknowledge of God. Did God know who was going to be saved? Yes. He's God. Did He make them get saved? No. He died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Whosoever will may come. Amen. Amen. That's truth. All right. It's just based on foreknowledge. Praise the Lord. If you don't agree with that, get the sermon from last week. We covered it. I hate just skipping through that. That is a damnable heresy going through churches today. We better know why it's wrong. It's one thing to sit in church and say, yeah, that ain't right. Why? If we don't know why, we can get swept up in anything. So we better know why, all right? It's according to the foreknowledge of God. Anytime and every time in the Word of God, when you find predestined or election, you're also going to find foreknowledge in there. Because that's what it's based on. The foreknowledge of God. All right? He knew. Right? Study that. I promise it's true. Secondly, the question of salvation. Now he covers the question of salvation in verses 3 through 8, which is what we'll cover today. Peter's going. Now these people need comfort. These people need strength. It was a rough world they were living in. It was a scary time that they lived in. They needed comfort and strength. And Peter starts out with this point, which I will say this and then we'll read the passage. We live in a wicked time also. We live in a rough time too. And all of us, to get through this life, we need strength. We need help. We need hope. And we'll not get it apart from salvation. That is the foundation of all strength. That is the foundation of true hope. That is the foundation of getting through this life, is knowing you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, you're going to struggle. And eventually, you'll die and go to hell. But that's not what God wants. But those that are saved, we can get through this. And Peter starts out with the question of salvation. Let's read it, verses 3 through 8. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you be at the service. Pray you bless in ways that only you can. And may your word be taught clearly. Lord, we claim the promise that it will not return void. Help us to have listening ears this morning. And Father, please, if there's someone here today that's not saved, the Spirit convict them. May they please be saved today. Give them listening ears. In your precious name I pray. Amen. The question of salvation. If you remember back, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter. But he ends that chapter, which says, now abideth three things. Those three things are faith, hope, and charity. Now you're going to find those three same things is what Peter talks about in regards to our salvation. And verse number 3, if you want to circle the word, you have the word hope. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. And in verse number 8, who having not seen ye love. There's those same three things. Faith, hope, and love or charity. When it comes to our salvation, there's faith, hope, and charity. See, what do you mean? In order to be saved, you've got to have faith. Amen? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that we're sinners and we can't get to heaven on our own, but Jesus Christ came to this world, died for our sins, and He was buried. Why? Because we were sinners. And there had to be a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus took our place upon that cross. And when we realize, say, Lord, I have faith that you died for me and that you were buried all because of my sin and you took my sin upon you. That takes faith. Believe, the Bible says. Hope. Hope in what? Not only was he buried, but he resurrected. We serve a risen Savior. Amen? That is a lively hope. Well, that's an exciting hope. That is a real hope that we all have. You see, if we're saved, what are we saved? The death, burial, and what? Resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says if there is a resurrection, our faith is in vain. That's what it says. So it takes faith and hope. Hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that word hope, sometimes, and I'll talk about it a little bit, we confuse that word in our modern English vernacular. You know, well, I hope I'm going to get some White Castle today. Well, that's a good hope. Amen. That's a great hope. Amen. That's a good hope. That's a good hope. But that's not what the hope in the Bible is. Hope is a confidence, a blessing that you can hold on to that's sure. Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. That's a lively hope. In other words, you can have confidence in that. It happened. There's an empty tomb. He's risen.
Not only that, but He's the first fruits of our resurrection. Because He arose from the grave, we have hope in days ahead that though this body may also be put in the grave, it's going also to come up out of the grave. Amen. And there's a lively hope also. Titus says this, that we're looking for the blessed what? Hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are things you can have confidence in. You can't be saved without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith, hope. You know what that produces in a saved person? Love. When you get saved, you can't help but love that kind of Savior. Amen. You say, oh, I don't love Jesus. Then you're not saved. That's just the bottom line. You can't be saved without loving the Savior. Now, I'm not saying you won't grow in love. I grow more in love with Him every day. Amen. But that faith and that hope will produce a love in our lives. Amen. Not just a love for God, but a love for others. A love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. But there will be a love. That love of God constrains us. That love of God challenges us. That love of God constructs us. That love of God forms what we are as Christians. It's the love of God. So faith, hope, and love. Now these things are talked about here by Peter. He's talking about our salvation. He reminds them that they are saved. He reminds them that they can get through this. No matter what persecution they're going to face, it's going to be all right. Why? Let's break these verses down. In verse 3 and 4, we have an expectant hope. That's what it says there in verse 3 and 4. We have an expectant hope. What do we have hope in? In verse number 3, that someday we will have a triumphant exit from the grave. Amen. In other words, someday we will, these bodies, the Lord tarries is coming, they will face death. It's appointed unto men once to die. These bodies, if the Lord tarries is coming, this body right here will break down and die someday. And it will be placed in a grave. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have hope. I have a confidence because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that this body will rise again. Amen. So will yours. Amen. Be given a glorified body and praise the Lord for that. And what Peter's saying here in verse number 3, blessed be God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten unto us again a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, he looks at these Christians, writes this letter, who are facing persecution. He says, hey, the worst thing that can happen is you die. But you still win. Amen. The worst thing Nero can do to you is burn your body, place it in some grave. But don't worry. The grave's not the end, just the beginning. Grave's been conquered. Amen? There's no sting there. There's no victory there. That's all been conquered because Jesus Christ died for our sins. And He arose from the grave, being the first fruits of our resurrection. We can have confidence today that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will, these bodies will rise again. Amen. That is a lively hope. We have an expectant hope and a triumphant exit from the grave, but we also have an expectant hope in our entrance into glory. In verse number 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I love this. And if you're saved, you should too. Not only is this body going to resurrect someday, but there's also prepared for us an inheritance in heaven. A home in heaven. A place in heaven prepared for us. Now let me give you some doctrine real quick so no one gets confused. When you die, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you die, you're in the presence of God. But there will come a day someday when the Lord will resurrect the bodies as well. You say, why is that? I can give you a lot of reasons, but I'll tell you one that I like telling everybody. The devil, when it comes to a saved person, the devil gets nothing. It would have been fine for us just to be in heaven for all of eternity after we die, but we get our bodies a glorified body. You know why? Because when the Lord saved us, He saved us. All of us, 100%. There ain't nothing the devil gets. Amen? Amen. And it just shows. It shows the devil you don't win nothing. Amen? We're resurrected. And then, on that resurrection time, we're reunited with these brand new glorified bodies, and we'll be in heaven for all of eternity, a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. I talked to Mrs. Greathouse, called me Friday. And I answered the phone at church. There was nobody in the office, and I had just walked in. I answered the phone. She said, "Who am I talking to?" And I said, "Pastor." And she just started to weep. She said, "My grandpa just died." And her heart was broken. And we talked and we had prayer together. And we've all faced that in different ways and times. Praise God, there's a place someday where there's no more parting. There's no more death. There's no more sin. There's no more suffering. You know what? That may not stir our hearts as much, but it stirred their hearts. There's a place coming where there's no more suffering. There's no more pain. When you're facing the martyr's death, you're looking forward to that time. When that threat is every time you hear a sound, it might be them coming for you. You're looking forward to that day. Us living in this cushion world that we live in, we don't understand it like they did. But they longed for that day. By the way, that day may come to us too. You know what happened? We'll fall more in love with the Lord than ever before. I don't look forward to persecution, but all through Scripture, every time it was, it brought Christians closer to God. It may just be what we need sometimes. I'm not wishing it. I don't want it. It'd be far better if we as children of God just decide we want to be faithful and fall in love with Him now and live for Him with all we've got. Amen. But there's a lively hope. There's an expectant hope, not only that the body would resurrect, but that we'd enter into glory. I love how the fact there in verse number 4, inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm glad it's been reserved. That word reserved means guarded. It's protected. It's watched over. There's coming a day when that's going to be ours. Amen. I'd love to preach on heaven this morning. All the glories of heaven. If I spoke on heaven for the next 5 hours, I couldn't come close to how glorious and wonderful it is. When we get, you don't know why we'll be praising God for all of eternity. That's hard for us to understand. But I think we will understand that when we see heaven. Wow, what a God. We'll sing His praises. Heaven's been reserved, it's been kept for us. And what a day that is. We have an expectant hope. Then in verses 5 through 7, we have an excellent faith. Now, it's not excellent because of us. It's excellent because of who it's in. The Lord Jesus. That's what makes it excellent. Because you can have confidence in that. An excellent faith, in verse number 5, that faith sees beyond the temporal, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says, I know there's persecution coming. But God is able in the present to keep you. God is able in the future, in the last time, to keep you. And basically, and I thought about this as I was looking at this verse, and verse number 4, heaven is being kept for us by the power of God. And in verse number 5, we are being kept for heaven by the power of God. That's why you can be confident in it. And by the way, in verse number 5, another great verse for eternal security. Amen. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You can't lose your salvation. You say, how do you know that? Because when I got saved, I am kept by the power of God. Now, if it was based, now, number one, you can't be saved by our works. There's no work you can do to earn your way to heaven. Doesn't exist. Say, how is someone saved? By repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus, turn from that wicked life that you're living, and say, I put my faith and trust in you. And you know what? You put your faith and trust in Christ, and He alone, it's His work that we're saved by. It's not ours. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So what's that verse mean? If it was based upon works, we'd all get to heaven someday, and I'd say, hey, how good a person were you, Brother Sleek? And then we'd start comparing. Well, I was a pretty good person too. And I'd say, hey, Brother Newhouse, glad you're in heaven. How good a person were you? And we'd constantly be checking, boasting on our works. I made it! I made it! I made it! When we get to heaven, we're all going to say, thank you, God. That's all we're going to say. Because it's His work. Now, here's just a simple, this is a so Fundamentally simple truth. But it's amazing that the devil's got it into so many churches and disrupted them. If we can't be saved by our works, we can't be lost by our works. I mean, this is a very simple statement here. But if you believe you can lose your salvation by your works, you're never saved. What are you saved from? Isn't that simple? I mean, what are you saved from? If Brother Haddix falls out of a boat, that'd be funny. He falls out of a boat, and he can't swim, and he's drowning. And I say, hey, you need help? Yeah, I'll save you. Okay, just swim over the boat. I can't. He can't say he's saved until what? He's in the boat. Amen. There's people saying, I'm saved. I could lose my salvation. You're not saved. If you think, what are you saved from? Amen. We're saved by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. Once you're in the Father's hand, there's nothing that can get you out of that hand. Amen. You're kept by the power of God. Not only is there an inheritance that's being kept and preserved for us in heaven, but we are being kept and preserved for that inheritance. In other words, heaven's kept for us. We're kept for it. If you're saved, you can have confidence. You're going to go to heaven. Not on our works, by the power of God. And Peter's trying to encourage their hearts. He's saying, listen, I know it's rough. I know there's some heaviness and manifold temptations that are on their way. But if you're saved, you are victorious. If you're saved, it's going no matter what you face. It will be okay. Child of God, if you're saved, it's going to be okay. If you're saved, you will have victory. If you're saved, you can leave rejoicing today, having a lively hope and an excellent faith that my God will see me through this. It sees beyond the temporal. It soars above temptations in verse number 6. It sings through every trial in verse number 7. You can see that wherein you greatly rejoice though now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Peter doesn't ignore the fact that it's hard. He doesn't ignore it. We are living in a time, he says, of heaviness, manifold temptations. But through it all, verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It will be fine, he says, because you're saved. Verse number 8, we'll close. We have an expectant hope and an excellent faith. And in verse number 8, you see an expressive love. Him having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hope, faith, love. You know, that kind of love for God brings a great boldness in our lives. If you love the Lord, that's a pretty bold statement. Say, how's that a bold statement? That's what Peter's covering here. You've never seen him. You ever seen the Lord? If you have, like I said last week, you had too much pizza before you went to bed. We've not seen him. We love him. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? We've not seen him. But loving the Lord gives you boldness. Loving the Lord allows you to believe. Now I'm just talking about salvation. Because Peter's talking about more than salvation now. You'll believe that no matter what you face, it's going to be okay. By the way, we love the Lord only for one reason, John says. We love Him because why? He first loved us. When we fall in love with the Lord, it gives us boldness. Wasn't it Thomas who stood before the Lord and said, when I see it, I'll believe it. And the Lord appeared to him. And what did he say to Thomas when he stood there in front of him? He said, blessed are they who have believed and not seen. Now that's us today. We've not seen him, but we love him. And it brings boldness. It brings believing. And then it brings, in verse number 8, great bliss. See the end of it? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know that word unspeakable right there? With joy unspeakable. That's the only time in all of God's Word that that specific word is used. Now, there's other times we have translated the word unspeakable, but it's a different root word. This word unspeakable is different, only used once in all of God's Word, and it means this. Very simple, but it means this. Words are completely inadequate. Keep that in mind and read it again. Though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy. A joy where words are just completely inadequate. And full of glory. If you're saved today, I worry about the Christian who constantly walks around mad, bitter, depressed, never able to smile. Life is terrible. They're like Eeyore, the donkey walking around. Little rain cloud on my head. You got Pastor Pooh walking around saying, it's going to be okay. You know, that's all we do. There's more to life than that. We are victorious. Now, it's easy for us to say, but you understand, go back who Peter's writing to. There are swords about to take some of their heads from off their shoulders. There are flames that were about to burn them up. They had reason to be down in the dumps, humanly speaking. They had reasons to get somewhat bitter, humanly speaking. They had reason to say, I don't understand, and I quit, humanly speaking. Peter writes to them and says, even in the trial of your faith, you've got joy unspeakable, full of glory. And that's why there were men who could be tied to posts, and while the flames began to burn their bodies, they could look up to heaven and say, thank you, God, that I am counted as faithful. While there are men, they would stick a sword to their neck and say, recant this Savior, recant this Lord, or you'll die. And they would look at them and say, I know whom I have believed in. And am persuaded that He is able. It was the same Nero, by the way, that had Paul put to death. Same Nero. Oh, they heard about it. But what was Paul's last words? I have finished my course. Henceforth, there's a crown waiting for me. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He had a joy unspeakable, full of glory. Christian, when you leave today, if you're saved, you've got something to rejoice in. No matter what you face this week or the rest of your life, it's going to be okay. God will give you strength. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, now may look at me and we'll pray. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, God loves you. He sent His only Son for you. And right now in your life, don't put your Bibles up, look at me. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, and right now in your life you're struggling, right now in your life you're trying every other thing to try to find joy, joy unspeakable, trust in the Lord. Amen. You're trying to find joy. You're trying to find strength. You're trying to find what it... I'm missing something. I just keep falling on my face. I hate life. See, I'd never feel that way. There are millions of people out there to feel that way this morning. Millions of people trying, even thinking of ways as I speak to end their life. They're tired. They don't understand it. Life just isn't worth it. Well, if you're saved, you've got joy unspeakable. At least you should. If you're saved, you've got the answer to help them. We got to take it to them. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm telling you that salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what you're looking for. And you're never going to get through this life without the Lord Jesus. I've said this hundreds of times. If you live for yourself, it always ends in self-destruction. Be saved today. Father, I pray you take this invitation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Scriptures.